The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today, we're going to be talking about a subject that really affects all of us in our community at large and is really a foundation of community health and family and community health and wellness, and that is housing. And we're going to be talking about the housing crisis here in Ulster County. And we have with us a very special guest. She is Deputy Ulster County Executive Evelyn Wright. Deputy County Executive Wright holds a PhD in ecological economics. She leads Ulster County's Green New Deal initiative and works with the Departments of Economic Development, Environment, and Planning, among others. Prior to joining Ulster County, she worked for 20 years as an economist and energy policy analyst, assisting local, state, and national governments and environmental organizations to develop decarbonization and clean energy policies. She has also taught economics and environmental policy at Franklin and Marshall College, Towson University, and the Washington Center. Evelyn grew up in the Albany area and is delighted to be resettled in the Hudson Valley. At County Executive Pat Ryan's direction, Evelyn most recently headed up the Ulster County Housing Action Plan Study, and she's here to tell us all about it. So a very warm welcome to you, Evelyn. Welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Thanks, Vin. It's great to be with you.
Nice to have you. So, Evelyn, let's begin by offering our listeners an overview of the housing crisis in Ulster County. How bad is it, and which segments of our population are most impacted?
So, Vin, when we started this process, which was a joint process from the county executive and the county legislature, there was a little bit of debate about whether we really needed to do a study. There were some folks who felt like, we know the need is urgent and we just need to get right down to action. And we ended up deciding that we did want to take a good look at the best data that we had that was available, but also really focus the study on developing strategies to address the crisis. I am really glad that we took the time to take a good look at the data because it's even worse than I thought it was. What we found is that in most municipalities of the county, a family making the median household income cannot afford to buy hardly any of the homes that are on the market right now. Rents are out of reach for folks making a typical wage of renters in the county by about a factor of 50%. A renter in Ulster County making the average renter's wage would have to work 67 hours a week to afford a two-bedroom apartment at what HUD deems to be the fair market rent.
And that's just a break even, right?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So, what we really found is that it's not just that we have an affordable housing crisis in Ulster County. We really have what I've been calling a housing affordability crisis, meaning that housing is really becoming unaffordable for the vast majority of folks in our population, really right across the income spectrum, except for the very highest earners.
Mm-hmm. And from my experience, as you know, I was a town supervisor. When people hear the words affordable housing, immediately what springs to mind is, a huge housing project. And, we're going to invite people from all over, the region to come and live here. But honestly, affordable housing is really about meeting the housing needs of real people and real families in your community, is it not?
That's right. And, we heard from all kinds of folks about, ranging from young families, folks who had grown up in the area and were finding that they could not afford to live here and needed to move away because of housing prices, to seniors who've lived their entire lives in the area and are finding, some combination of their current home being unaffordable for them due to rising taxes, or, they would like to downsize and move into a home that suits them better in their community and can't find something that they can move into. And so they're stuck in the home that they have, which might be more appropriate for one of those young families. So, you know, we've got needs really all across the population and all across the county.
Mm-hmm. And really, you know, doing nothing is not an option, right? Because then we're just basically surrendering the entire challenge or crisis to market forces, which may or may not benefit the most amount of people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, other communities around the country have seen this happen. It's actually coming to Ulster County relatively late, where, you know, the distribution of incomes across our country are very uneven. And when an area gets discovered like Ulster County by folks who have higher incomes, usually from elsewhere, it really distorts the local housing market. Planning Director Dennis Doyle, who worked closely with me on this study, and I were talking with some folks from the Ulster County Board of Realtors the other day, and one of them mentioned seeing Cape Cod, the Cape Cod housing market, really transformed in the last couple of decades, and what that's done to communities there, and how difficult that's made it for all of the businesses there whose workers can't afford to live there anymore. And, you know, really a concern that that's where we could be heading if we don't take action.
And really, that's really what housing that people can afford is all about, right? Because, you know, if people have a lot of money, then obviously it's not an issue. But, you know, if you're a firefighter, a teacher, a police officer, a government worker, what have you, being able to live in the community where you work is absolutely essential. And it's also from a business perspective, employers would be very hard pressed to find people that can actually work in their businesses if they can't afford to live somewhat proximity to where they work.
Absolutely. We've heard that from major employers in the county, that it's becoming a serious limitation for them in terms of hiring. We've heard from fire departments that it's an issue for them getting volunteers. We've heard that from community organizations, hearing that their pool of volunteers, even pre-COVID, was drying up because folks that typically had volunteered for them were now working second and third jobs and no longer had time to volunteer. So it's really putting a stress on our communities.
Mm-hmm. And you already mentioned the fact that that there's been a huge influx of people from the New York metro area. The first wave of that really happened after 9/11, as I recall. I mean, I bought my house just shortly before that, but then almost like within 6 months after 9/11, the real estate values just skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of diminished again with the financial crisis rather in 2008. But here we are again in yet another, you know, I can use as an example my own neighborhood. I live on the Ashokan Reservoir. The entire ridge for miles used to be all local people, you know, just local working families. And now it's all wealthy New Yorkers. I mean, it's not to say those folks aren't welcome and that we don't want them here. They you know, they contribute so much to our community. But the other side of that is that young people and seniors and working families are being squeezed out as well. So, you know, we know about that cause. What are some of the other causes of the housing crisis that you discovered?
Well, let me just say one other thing about what you were just talking about. You know, I think it's really important to recognize that it's not about outsiders coming in. It's about the inequality in our society, which has been very geographic. So it's the distribution of income between places like New York City and places like Ulster County. A very similar phenomenon has happened out west with folks from California moving into other western states. So one of the drivers of our housing crisis is low wages in you know, most of our community, coupled with the inequality and the higher incomes in some parts of our community that are driving up housing prices. So that's one of the drivers of all of this is that stark and ever-growing income inequality. And one of the things we saw in looking at the data in the study that over the decade of the 2010s, wages have been declining for most of our population, for all but the very highest earners who saw an increase in their wages. So that increase in inequality is still continuing to grow. Mm-hmm. The other piece of it is that we have very, very constrained housing supply here in Ulster County. We've done very little new construction in the last couple of decades. And almost all of that has been at the very high end of the spectrum. So we've been building large houses on large lots that sell for $500,000 or more. We've done very, very little construction for even the middle of the market, let alone the low end of the market. And I think we've gotten very, very good at protecting land and avoiding the kind of sprawl that's taken place elsewhere. But in doing so, an unintended consequence of that has been that we've really limited the healthy growth in our housing supply that we need to keep housing affordable.
Mm-hmm. Because really, it's really about smart growth, not no growth, right? Because I know that one of the debates we had in Marbletown was that people would say, you know, well, we don't want any kind of housing or any kind of, you know, development here. And I was very, you know, pro-environmental and, you know, we had really, really solid zoning laws. But, you know, the other side of that I tried to explain to people is that, you know, we are a living, breathing community with real needs and that, you know, that we're not just a scenic backdrop, you know, for a second home or vacation home, that there are real people here. And that if we're going to have a sustainable community, we have to have places for people to live. And I think that's really critical. And I'd really like to, I'm sure our listeners want to know about much more about your housing study and everything that you found out and some of the recommendations. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
At WMC Health, we know emergencies don't wait, and neither should our patients. That's why we pledge to see you within 30 minutes or less at Health Alliance on Broadway in Kingston, and at Margaretville Hospital on Route 28 in Margaretville. Our emergency departments offer safe and protective environments and are backed by the full services of our WMC Health Network hospitals, right there if you need more care. If you have an emergency, please call 911 or go to the emergency room closest to you.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. It's a weekly community affairs presentation of the Ulster County Health Department on 92.9 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. And today we're talking about the housing crisis in Ulster County. And we have with us Deputy County Executive Evelyn Wright, who recently headed up the Ulster County Housing Action Plan study. Evelyn, tell us about that study. How did it get started? Who's involved? And what were its goals going into it?
So the study was a joint effort by the Ulster County Executive and the Ulster County Legislature. And we wanted to do a couple of things with this study. First of all, as we discussed, to take a look at the data that we could obtain about wages, incomes, housing supply, and housing affordability in Ulster County, get a good understanding of what's going on. But then deepen that to really understand some of the factors that we just talked about. What drives housing affordability and unaffordability in the county? And then crucially, identify what strategies we can to help increase our housing supply and address that piece of the puzzle. And I should say, you know, meanwhile, our Ulster 2040 economic development strategy is really trying to look at the wages and inequality side of that puzzle. So the Housing Action Plan is really focused on how can we increase the housing supply and meet our housing needs. And I would say the overarching goal of the housing study has been really to kick off a community-wide conversation about how we can work together to address the housing crisis, because it is going to take all of us working together to change these dynamics that have gotten us to where we are.
Mm-hmm. And that's really true of any public health crisis as well, right? That it's not solvable by government alone or any one organization or entity. It truly does take a community, and everyone has a role to play in that process. But let's get back a little bit to the housing supply. So how do you approach the business development community who might be thinking to themselves, you know, I don't have, my company doesn't have unlimited resources to build, you know, unlimited numbers of structures or projects. I'm going to focus on the ones that are most highly profitable. And so I'm going to build a high-end things. How do you address something like that?
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of what's been going on. So what we can do is try to lower the costs of development where we can affect them, so that developers don't have to look for just the highest margin projects in order to achieve profitability. We know that even building low-income housing can be profitable, especially with the tax credit support that's available. It's just not quite as profitable as quickly as building high-end housing. So whatever we can do to try to lower some of the soft costs of development, we can encourage more of the development in the middle and lower ends of the spectrum that we need to see. And so, you know, you talked about smart growth before. That's really the approach that we need to take. I think it was very easy for us to try to protect what we valued about our communities by simply avoiding building. And we need to get beyond that to really change the development and approval conversations that we tend to have in our community. So I use the example in my neighborhood here in Midtown Kingston. Right around the corner from my home, there's a vacant lot that's weedy and, you know, covered in some scrubbly trees, and it's really a mess. And last summer, I learned that there was a proposal to build a small apartment building there with a dozen or 15 units in it. And I'm in a very mixed neighborhood. We have single family homes, we have multifamily homes, and we have another apartment complex that's just down the street from that site. And I was really excited that we were going to get something built on this messy lot. But unfortunately, a small number of my neighbors went to the city council and complained about, you know, they thought it was going to change, you know, there was going to be more traffic on the street and right. There were going to be more garbage cans and all these sort of complaints. And that put the kibosh on it.
And that's very typical, right? Because, I mean, I think if you said to the average person in the average community in Ulster County, do you support senior housing? They'd say, of course I do. But just do it somewhere on the other side of town.
You know, exactly. Where... Exactly. So we need to really get beyond the sort of project at a time arguments about, I don't like this here, and have proactive conversations in each community about, what do we need? Mm-hmm. Who's in need in this community? What do we need to build? And where does it make sense, given all of our other plans right. for our town, where does it make sense to build it? And right. and proactively define, I want to build a senior housing complex here. Right. I want to do some infill development in this existing neighborhood. Right. Then we can go out and proactively seek a developer to build that project that we want. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, if we can proactively design what we want and proactively seek a developer for it, we've dramatically reduced the soft costs of getting a project approved.
Right. And it changes the dynamic, right? Because then it's driven from by the community, because typically the way development projects happen that I've seen is that, you know, a developer comes in, and so it's driven by the developer coming in and saying, you know, I value your opinion. Here's the plan. What do you think? You know, right, I mean, that's right. generally the way it works. And then a fight ensues that lasts, you know, five or however many years. And at the end of the day, everyone spent a lot of time and money and divisiveness, and nothing gets done. And the fact of the matter is, growth will happen if we're not proactive. Growth will happen. It will just happen in a way that's not defined by the community, or that doesn't necessarily meet the community's needs.
That's right. That's right.
So what are some of the other solutions and strategies that the action plan identified? And were any of them really like completely new and innovative that you'd like to talk about?
Well, one of the strategies that we're recommending is that communities look at opportunities to do what they call scattered site development, in addition to trying to do large projects. So this is a relatively new approach, and it's been used to build both low-income and middle-income housing in ways that infill into existing neighborhoods with homes that resemble the existing homes in their scale and style, mm-hmm. rather than building large projects. And Dennis Doyle and I and some members of our committee visited a project up in Schenectady where the nonprofit housing developer had worked with the city and the local land bank to put together 30 some parcels for a project that they were able to get low-income housing tax credits for. They had two former schools that they redeveloped into apartments. And then in between, there were a couple of city blocks, really similar to a city block in Kingston, with single family homes, some of which had been carved up into apartments. But the block was really blighted. There were some vacant lots. There were some homes that were in disrepair. And the developer had gotten title to about two-thirds of the parcels on the street. They took down the homes that could not be repaired. They renovated the ones that could. And then they built homes that matched the style of the homes in the neighborhood, but purpose-built as three and four unit, three units to a building to fill in. And it just was so, it was really working with the existing fabric of the neighborhood and strengthening it.
And that can happen in rural areas too, because I remember getting a presentation in Marbletown from an architect who showed us a multi-unit dwelling that looked like a farmstead. I mean, it was beautiful. Yep. It looked like a beautiful, you know, barn and country home, except that four families lived there. And it was really, and for all intents and purposes, if you drove by, you would not know that that was just historic farmhouse, you know, and barn. And so, you know, it can certainly be done. Yep. And so Evelyn, tell us, how does the county, municipalities, and even individual citizens get involved in becoming part of the solution?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in New York State, land use decisions are all done at the municipal level, municipal home rule. And that means that we need to address this problem with a community by community process to, you know, similar to what we've just done at the county level, to take a look at the data for your community, talk about what your needs are, hear from folks in the community, and then start working through, you know, do we have zoning regulations in place that are impeding our ability to get housing built? What does our approval process look like? And are there ways that we can streamline it? Should we be putting regulations in place on short-term rentals, which are, of course, another factor influencing our supply of housing? And then critically getting to that conversation about what do we want to build? Where do we want to do it? And how can we shape what the development process looks like? So that needs to happen in all of our communities. Mm-hmm. The county can play a role by supporting municipalities in this. We're going to offer funding and technical assistance for communities to do their own housing action plans and help communities work through a menu of different options that they might want to take and select from them the ones that are right for their community.
That's great. And so where, very quickly, where do people go to get more information or get involved?
Yeah, so the housing action plan will be released shortly. We'll put it up on the county website. So folks will be able to get that available there. I expect that to be out sometime early in March. And, you know, I would say the best thing to do is to get involved in these issues in your local community. So many of our municipalities now have housing committees or advisory boards or study groups. I just learned that a new one had been formed in the town of Rochester in the last couple of months. And so I think, you know, many communities are already taking a look at these issues. We really need everybody to get involved and turn out if we want to get, you know, beyond those really negative project by project conversations mm-hmm. to a really positive conversation about addressing the crisis. So, mm-hmm. we need to hear from business leaders and educators and folks in the healthcare community and folks in the environmental community about what this crisis is doing to the community and get us all working together to solve it.
Mm-hmm. And it's good business too. And so, that's about all the time we have for today, Evelyn. This is such a great topic. I think we're going to have you back again to talk about, progress as we go along. So thank you to County Executive Ryan, to you, and to the entire team of individuals and partners that were involved in this study, and that it certainly couldn't be more critical, because home is the foundation of which we all build our lives. So very, very important. Thank you so much for being on Healthy Ulster Radio, and take good care.
Thanks, Ben.
Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.